This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Many times when we talk about this concept of being godly, we look at the things that we should do. So praying is godly, and fasting is godly, and charity is godly, and being kind to your mom is godly. But I have a question for you. Do the wicked pray? Yes. Do the wicked fast, or can they fast? Yes. Can the wicked be good to their parents? Yes. In fact, you'll find monsters who are good to their mom. Can the wicked donate charity? Yes. You'll find monsters who have foundations that they run where they take care of the poor and they take care of orphans. And so then the question becomes, how does a person truly be godly if acts of worship by themselves are shared by the righteous and the wicked? Sa'd ibn Abdullah al-Tusturi, he says, a beautiful and profound statement. He says, أَعْمَالُ الْبِرِّ يَعْمَلُهَا الْبَرُّ وَالْفَاجِرُ. Good deeds are done by the righteous and by the wicked. وَلَا يَصْبِرْ عَنِ الْمَعَاصِي إِلَّا صِدِّيقٌ. He says, but the only people who refrain from committing sins are the truthful. Because sometimes it may feel good to do something that is righteous. It feels good to take care of my mom or my dad. It feels good to take care of the poor. It feels good to volunteer in a soup kitchen. That is not the true metric of righteousness. The true metric of righteousness, according to Sa'd ibn Abdullah al-Tusturi, is that a person refrains from sins. Because sins feel good too. But when I suffocate my desires, that doesn't feel good. And when I wrestle with my ego, that doesn't feel good. But I am only doing it because I believe in pleasing someone greater than pleasing myself, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just like when a person is seeking to be healthy, it's not enough that just exercise. Eventually they have to clean up their diet, because you can't outwork a bad diet. Similarly, when a person wants to be spiritually healthy, then it's not enough that they just increase in acts of worship. They have to dial in on their sins. They have to close that door so that they can find, so that their spirituality can grow. And so I wanted to share a number of quick points, inshallah ta'ala, with regards to this concept of taqwa. Number one, what is taqwa? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they define taqwa in a number of ways. Linguistically, it comes from wiqaya, which means to protect yourself. Protect yourself from what? Protect yourself from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba were asked, and they asked each other, what is taqwa? And I'll share with you a number of definitions. The first one is Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. He said that taqwa is four things. Number one, it is al-amalu bit-tanzil. It is to act in accordance with the revelation. وَالْرِضَى بِالْقَلِيلِ, and that you be content with little. And it is الْاِسْتِعْدَادُ لِيَوْمِ الرَّحِيلِ, and it is to prepare for the day of departure. And it is الْخَوْفُ مِنَ الْجَلِيلِ, it is to be afraid of the sublime. That is what taqwa is. That you fear Allah, that you act in accordance to the revelation, you do what Allah commands, you avoid what Allah prohibits. Number three, you're content with little. And number four, you're preparing for your departure, your death. That is what taqwa is. Ubay ibn Ka'ab is asked by Umar ibn Khattab, Amir al-Mu'mineen, what is taqwa? Umar asks Ubay, he says, what is taqwa? And Ubay says, Amir al-Mu'mineen rather. He says, have you ever walked by a path that is filled with thorns? And Umar says, yes. And Ubay says to him, well, what did you do? You were walking down a thorny road. He said, I kept my garments close to me. I didn't keep my garments loose. I wrapped it up tight. Shammartu, he says, wajtahat, and I was careful where I stepped. I wasn't loose. I wasn't messy. And I was careful where I stepped. He said to him, that is what taqwa is. Taqwa is that you're cautious with your words. Taqwa is you're cautious with your actions. And taqwa is you fear the consequences of those actions. You're careful where you step. But number three, and this is a beautiful definition, and I'll end the definitions with this. Talq ibn Habib, he says to his students, he says, إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتَنْ فَرُدُّوهَا بِالتَّقْوَى. He says that when trials happen in your life, then repel it with taqwa. And they said to him, well, what is taqwa? Can you define for us what taqwa is? this word that we've heard so many times. He says, it is al-amal bimardati Allah. He says, it is to act in accordance to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Ala nurin min Allah. Upon a light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reward. That is what taqwa is. It is that you do the things that Allah loves. Number two, upon a light from Allah. Meaning, upon the Quran and Sunnah, I'm just not just making this up. It is upon a light from Allah. It's based on revelation. My act, my worship is based on revelation. And number three, who is my audience? I'm not seeking the pleasure of the people. I'm seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what taqwa is. And he said, and it is to avoid what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited. Upon a light from Allah, also upon revelation, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. And so then why gain taqwa? What are the virtues of taqwa? And I'll share with you three virtues inshallah ta'ala, but the Quran is filled with the virtues of taqwa. Number one, taqwa is how true nobility is arrived at. You know, people naturally, they compete over lots of things and everybody wants to be a step ahead of the other. And so I get a better job than my brother. I want to have a nicer car. I want to have a nicer house. I want to have this. I want to have that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alhaakum al-takathur. You've been distracted by the desire for more. That idea of keeping up with the Joneses or wanting to be better, that is part of the human condition. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a vehicle through which if a person really wants to be better than everybody else, this is the route of competition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we made you into nations and tribes that you may know one another. That's the reason why. We made you into nations and tribes that you may know one another. You know this idea of being into nations and tribes? Imagine if I had to get to know everybody individually with zero background every single time. I'd have to start relationships from scratch every single time. That is exhausting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us into nations and tribes so that we can get to know one another. And so right now, over this weekend, or over this week, I've been walking around and you've been meeting people and you ask them, what city are you from? And they tell you, I'm from Chicago. And you say to them, that's horrible. The pizza here is terrible and this and that. That's unfortunate. The Bulls are this, the Bulls are that. Or you tell them, I love Chicago in the summertime. Do you know such and such a place? And they say, yes. Do you know so and so? That's my cousin. Look how quickly you're able to build rapport with individuals. That is because we are made into nations and tribes. When a person mentions to you a place you've never heard of, you've got nothing to say. You've got no connection to create with that individual. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He made you into nations and tribes so that you may know one another, that you may connect with one another. But He did not make you into nations and tribes so that you can abuse that concept by saying, I am better than you because I'm from this nation and you're from that tribe. That's not why I made you. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the most noble in the sight of Allah amongst you is not if you're from this tribe or from that tribe or from this city or from this country. It is the one who has the most taqwa. So the first virtue of taqwa that I want to share with you is that taqwa is how real nobility is in the sight of Allah. That's the real scale. But number two is that taqwa allows for you to differentiate between right and wrong. And when we live in a world that is filled with misinformation, and every second we're receiving news that we are acting upon or that we are speaking about, and the entire world is a global village, I'm receiving information and I'm Googling countries to find out about events that have happened there, of places that I'm not familiar with. And when you have that much deception that we are all exposed to, and when your own vision can belie you, or when your own vision can deceive you rather, then you have to rely on something more than your sight, and that is your spiritual insight. You have to rely on something more than your basar, and that is your basira. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you have taqwa of Allah, Allah will make for you a furqan. He will make for you the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. I need that spiritual assistance as I'm making decisions in this world. And so taqwa is a path to nobility. Taqwa is a path to be able to distinguish between right and wrong. Taqwa is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors. Taqwa is how you gain access to the Quran and are guided. There's so much more to be said. Taqwa is the thing that weighs the heaviest on the Day of Judgment, on the scales, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. But then I want to end with, how does a person become of the muttaqeen? You know, I spent years asking shuyukh, how do you gain taqwa? Because I know that taqwa is so important, but I want to know practically, how do I gain taqwa? How do I do it? How do I be of the muttaqeen? And so I'm going to share with you 4 or 5 points that are all inshallah ta'ala practical that we can all go home with. I always like to make sure that every presentation is one that is practical. You have things that, we all have things that we can do. And so the first, and always the greatest, is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you of the muttaqeen. And so there is a dua, a beautiful dua that we are taught to make every day, and that is, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wal-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. Oh Allah, I ask you for guidance, and I ask you for taqwa, and I ask you for self-sufficiency, and I ask you for chastity. This is a dua that we should learn to make, we should write it down, we should memorize it, and we should say it. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wal-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. Always, 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 your greatest tool to acquire anything that you want is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it in dua. That's number one. Number two, it is to learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, that he is the forgiver of sins, and he is qabil at-tawb, and he is the acceptor of repentance, and he is shadid al-iqabi dhittawli, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is severe in punishment. You know, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu ibn Kathir, he mentions that on the commentary of this verse, that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu had a person who used to attend his gatherings. He used to see him around. And then this companion, he wasn't a companion, but this person, he disappeared from his gatherings for a while. And so Umar radiallahu anhu asked, and he said, where has he been? And they said, unfortunately, he's reverted back to drinking. And he stopped coming to the masjid, he stopped attending gatherings. And so Umar radiallahu anhu, he wrote this man a message. He wrote him a letter. And he said, I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you, who is the forgiver of sins and the acceptor of repentance and the one who's severe in his punishment, the one who's filled with power. He quoted the verse to him and he just sent him that letter and he told them and he said, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his friends that he's with him, he said, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unlock his heart. And when the man read the letter, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling me that he's forgiving of my sins, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the acceptor of repentance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also severe in punishment, and he has power over me. And so the man repented, and Umar radiallahu anhu told his companions, he says, this is what you should do with your brothers if they should ever fall into a sin, that you advise them and you make dua for them. But the point here is to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the forgiver of sins, yes, but let me not be deluded by that mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also severe in punishment. So learning more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects you and makes you of the muttaqeen. Number three is studying about the hereafter. Learning about the hereafter. You know, we become so obsessed with the dunya. But when a person with their mind's eye journeys into the hereafter, you will not find a page of the Qur'an except that it is referencing the hereafter in some way. Even these chapters that we learn as children, what are they? إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا الْقَارِعَةُ مَا الْقَارِعَةُ الْحَاقَّةُ عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَإِ الْعَظِيمِ. All of these chapters talking about the Day of Judgment. And the more a person reflects on the Day of Judgment, the more insignificant the dunya and its temptations seem. And I want to challenge all of us to say, do we only talk about akhirah when it is in such a formal type of presentation? It's a sheikh on the minbar in the masjid, or it's a class in a school somewhere or what have you? Or do we talk about al-akhirah amongst each other, our friend groups, when we're in a car with somebody, informally discussing and reminding each other about the thing that is the most certain? Al-Hasan al-Basri said, I never saw anything that was more certain, about which there is no doubt, that people take as if it is doubtful, that there is no certainty except for death. Death is that thing that people are certain about, and yet they take it as if it is something that is uncertain. The more a person remembers death, the day of judgment, Jannah, now, it is the destroyer of delights, as the Prophet ﷺ said. So number three is learning about Akhirah and remembering it often. And then number four, seeking knowledge in general, studying Islam. Why? Because a person can't have taqwa if they do not know what they should be wary of, what they should avoid. What are the transactions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden between you and your fellow man? You have to know what you need to avoid. That is also a way that a person has taqwa, is that you spend that time seeking knowledge. And then the last is to follow a bad deed with a good deed, knowing that it will erase it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he says, "Atbi' sayyi'at al-hasana tamhuha." Every time you commit a sin, every time you commit a sin, that you get into the habit of following it with a good deed. There was one brother, one of our mashayikh told us that this brother, he made it a point that every time he looks at something that's haram, he checks somebody out that's attractive, he prays two rak'ahs. That's my habit. But the idea of, I'm going to follow a sin that I commit with a good deed. I'm going to get into that habit. What is that going to cause? That's going to cause for me to become more conscious of the sins that I create or the sins that I do. And I'm going to work to purify them actively. And every time I do that, I will become more spiritually aware, and inshallah ta'ala, it will lead me to becoming of the muttaqeen. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the muttaqeen, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us what He has promised the muttaqeen. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَا فِي مَقْعَدِ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.